Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's The Takeaway. I'm Arun Vanigopal. Recently, there's been some encouraging news about the nation's opioid crisis. Many states have seen a decline in opioid overdose deaths, and the CDC reported last month that overall drug overdose deaths in the U.S. dropped in 2018 for the first time in nearly three decades. And yet, so-called overdose homicide prosecutions, often linked to opioids, seem to be on the rise. That's when a person is prosecuted for supplying drugs that lead to another person's death by overdose. Activists and policy experts who oppose this approach say it often targets those who aren't even profiting from supplying drugs, often just helping out a friend or acquaintance who's desperate for a high. New Yorker staff writer Paige Williams recently reported on this in a piece titled "The Wrong Way to Fight the Opioid Crisis." And Leo Beletsky is an expert looking at this issue who was featured in that piece. He's also a professor of law and health sciences at Northeastern University, focused on drug policy, and the director of the Health and Justice Action Lab. Leo, nice to have you back on The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me back, Arun.
First off, under what circumstances is someone prosecuted for someone else's overdose?
The laws are written very broadly, and so any time that a person who overdoses and dies has gotten drugs from somebody else, that person who provided, distributed, shared drugs with the victim can be on the hook for drug-induced homicide or drug delivery resulting in death, which really highlights the fact that, you know, we have about 70,000 overdoses in this country currently, very tragically. Theoretically, these kinds of prosecutions could cover every single overdose and really, you know, flood the system with these kinds of prosecutions. The fact is that they're being applied unevenly and somewhat arbitrarily, and that's definitely a source of concern about how this process is unfolding.
It's one thing to go after big-time drug dealers who are profiting from selling drugs, but that's not the bulk of who gets caught up in this, correct?
So we looked at almost 300 prosecutions, and we found that about half involve folks who are not traditionally thought of as dealers.
Is there specific overdose homicide legislation in every state? Where are we seeing this play out in particular?
There is not a law in every state, but an increasing number of states have adopted these laws, and many more are proposed. So these laws are not actually necessary to prosecute someone for a charge like this. Other homicide or manslaughter laws can just generic laws can be used, but in many ways, the laws themselves are kind of a statement that a legislature takes, that policymakers take, is supposed to signal to the voters that they're being, you know, sort of tough on drug dealers and decisive in the context of this crisis. So we have seen the majority of states now have a law in the books, and many more are considering it.
Leo, what do we know about the effectiveness of this approach in terms of deterring people from drug use? Is there evidence that it actually works?
There is not evidence that it works. So we know from years of research on similar kinds of laws and prosecutions, for example, looking at mandatory minimums, that harsh punishment is not something that deters, you know, bona fide drug dealers. We had, for example, El Chapo being sort of touted as a huge win for drug enforcement authorities. And since he was arrested and prosecuted, the supply of drugs has only gone up. And that's just one illustration of a much broader pattern where, you know, these kinds of prosecutions do not actually deter drug dealers. As far as the specific element of drug-induced homicide prosecutions or drug delivery resulting in death, which is another name that people use, there's just beginning to be research on this point. And we have a study that's currently under review that demonstrates that in the wake of prosecutions, overdoses tend to actually go up, not down.
What is the message from the prosecutors who are taking this up? What's their reasoning for these kinds of prosecutions?
Well, I think that there's a stated reason and then there's the real reason. The stated reason is, I think, threefold. One is to deter future drug dealing. The second one is to put drug dealers behind bars, so kind of take them off the streets, quote unquote. And the third one is to avenge the death, so kind of a retribution rationale. You know, we're sort of listening to victims' families and holding someone responsible.
How are defense attorneys tackling this rise? How are they defending their clients when they're faced with these kinds of charges?
Defense attorneys in many jurisdictions are being really railroaded by these prosecutions, both in the sort of intensity and number, and in many ways, the laws themselves are so broad that they're really hard to defend against. As a result, folks are ending up with pretty long sentences. We found that on average, people are serving 5 years if you're white and 8 years if you're a person of color on drug-induced homicide charges. And this racial gradient is in many ways reflective of what we saw during kind of the height of the war on drugs, where there was a pretty big difference in the penalties imposed on white versus people of color defendants. And this is one of the areas of concern about this new trend.
Now, Good Samaritan laws are supposed to give immunity to people who call for help, but do they provide protection in the case of overdoses?
So these prosecutions really run at cross purposes to Good Samaritan laws. The purpose and the sort of mechanism for Good Samaritan laws is to help folks feel less nervous, less anxious about calling for help during an overdose event. So it's really important that help is provided in a timely manner, because overdoses can be reversed. One of the top reasons why people don't call for help is that they're concerned about law enforcement involvement. They're concerned about getting into trouble and getting the victim into trouble, the person who's overdosing. A Good Samaritan law is fairly limited in the protection that it provides. So they do not, by and large, cover drug-induced homicide or drug delivery resulting in death charges. So folks who call for help in many states can still be charged with these crimes. And so both the prosecutions themselves and the announcement of prosecutions, the sort of the diffusion of information about them, really is sort of running in opposite direction in making folks concerned about calling for help when an overdose occurs.
Thank you. Leo Beletsky is an associate professor of law and health sciences at Northeastern University, focused on drug policy. Leo, thanks so much.
Thanks so much.